Good morning. This is Mike Clevin, pastor at First Baptist Church of Fallen. Glad to have this opportunity to be with you this morning and to share a message from the Word of God. You know, when I put together a message, I think about the audience that I'm speaking to. And sometimes it's a very kind of narrow audience with very similar interests and at a very similar stage of life. And other times it's broader. And there are people in different ages, different stages of life, different challenges in many different ways. And coming across on the radio to you, I'm not quite sure where you're at. Sometimes I put together a message for people that don't know a lot about the Bible, and I want to help introduce them to who God is through the Bible. And other times the message is more focused towards people who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, who believe in Jesus, who have dedicated their life to Him. And when I say believe in Jesus, I don't mean just believing intellectually that Jesus was a real person or that Jesus lived at one time, that He shared some good stories and gave some good lessons and that He died on a cross. We can believe those facts just like we can believe the fact that Donald Trump and Joe Biden are both running for president of the United States in the election this fall. I can believe that that's true. But there's another kind of belief that is what the Bible talks about. It's the kind of belief that says, I believe in you. I believe in who you are. I believe in what you're trying to create. That's what politicians do when they give speeches, when they have advertisements. If they're not talking about how awful the other person is, they're talking about all that they can do. They're talking about the future they are trying to create, the life that if you just get behind them and support them, the life that they will create together with you. And they ask people to become a believer, to, in a sense, engage with that. That's the kind of belief that the Bible talks about when it talks about believing in Jesus. In fact, that's the kind of belief that Jesus talked about when He said to believe in Me. He's inviting people to enter into, commit to the life that He is offering, the future He is putting together. And that future includes the death and the dealing with sin. It includes the resurrection and the creation of something new. It includes coming into that connection and believing and following and setting aside another perspective of what life is all about and coming to the place where you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is the one who dealt with our problem of sin and dealt with the enemies we face, and that He is building a future. And when we believe in Him, we are tying into the future that He is creating. There are other people then who just don't believe at all. And so they know about Jesus, but they don't even believe He existed. This morning, I'm going to be talking and aiming at people who believe in Jesus in the way that they believe in the future He is creating, and they believe their need for that. And if you are that spot, I encourage you to pay attention because sometimes it's challenging. It's challenging in the midst of the world and the confusion of what's going on to stay focused in that and to understand what's going on. If that's not where you're at, perhaps you believe in Jesus, believe that He is real, and believe that He lived and died, shared some good stories, but you haven't believed in Him in the sense of joining His cause, joining the world and the future that He is creating. I encourage you to listen this morning, and you'll learn more about really what I believe it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and it may help you understand Christians better. And so we're going to take a look at that. Again, my name is Mike Clevin. I'm the pastor at First Baptist Church of Fallen, and I'm glad to have this opportunity with you this morning. I do want to say that as you are making your way through this pandemic and the challenges that we're facing, I encourage you, if you need help in some way, any way that I could be of help to you, to contact me. My phone number at church is 715-689-2125, or you can send me an email to mikeclevin@fbcfallen.org. And also want to invite you to our Sunday morning worship service, both online on our website, which is fbcfallen.org, or you can join us live at our church facility in Fallen, and we begin both online and worship at the church building at 10 a.m., and would love to have you come and join us sometime. Well, for those who really believe, this is what the Apostle Paul, one of the followers of Jesus Christ who was called to lead the church when it first started, this is something he wrote to a church known as the church in Ephesus, and we have the book of Ephesians today. And it is for people who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, who believe in him, and is to help them lock in what it means. And so we're going to start here at beginning of chapter 1, or in chapter 1 of Ephesians, and we're going to focus the rest of the message then at the end of Ephesians in chapter 6. He says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 23, "I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father most glorious, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation through knowing Christ fully." He's praying that because you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, he wants you to know and truly understand who God is and who you are. He says, "Then the eyes of your heart will be enlightened, and you will know the hope of his calling, the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and the unlimited greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his mighty strength, which he put to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm." He's saying here, I want you to know that because of who Jesus Christ is and because of the power of the resurrection, something new has started. And I want you to understand how precious that is. It's an inheritance. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, it's an inheritance. It's something that becomes ours. The future that God is putting together becomes ours. We become part of that. We are heirs together with Jesus. And it says the same power that brought Jesus from death to life, that raised him from the dead, is the same power that functions in those who believe Jesus. And then it says, "He is far above every ruler, authority, power, dominion, and every name that can be named, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come." That there is no power, since Jesus rose from the dead, there is no power that is greater than him. There's no power that can overcome him. He is King of Kings, and he is Lord of Lords. It says God has put everything under his feet and has made him the head of everything for the good of which is his body. God has put everything under Jesus' feet so that Jesus could lead forward for the good of those who follow him, who believe in him, who enter into the life that he began in his resurrection and that he is creating now and will continue to develop throughout all eternity. Well, what did we just learn about Jesus? We learned that we have inheritance with him. We learned that God's resurrection power is at work in us who believe in him today. We learned that Jesus is in charge, that there's no competition for authority or power with him, that it is his now and it's his forever. And we've learned that he is in charge of everything for the good of those who come to faith in him. So here's my question. For those of us who believe in Jesus, those of us who have entered into the movement that Jesus is creating, here's my question. Does life ever seem like a struggle to you? Making a living, making ends meet, staying out of debt and getting out of debt, dealing with aches and pains and injuries and illnesses? Do you struggle with people? A boss that doesn't understand, demands too much, and is unreasonable? Or someone you hired to get a job done for you that wants too much money, does too little work, and does a poor job? Do you have children who are walking down a pathway that you have warned them against, walking away from the life that God offers, and in fact are attacking you and mocking your faith? Or do you have parents who are trying to insert themselves into your lives and to control every aspect of who you are, to live their lives through you? Or is your struggle more personal? Perhaps marriage and home life are more of a battleground than the refuge that you had hoped they would be. God knows that relationships in this time, see, we're living in the time between when Jesus rose from the dead and he ascended to heaven and the time when he will return and everything will finally be put to rights. And we live in this time where what God, Jesus is doing is already part of our lives, but we also are living in a time where it has not fully come to be. We live in a war zone where there are those who have rebelled against God in the heavenly realms. There's those who have rebelled against him. And that rebellion is still active, although the end has already been decided through Jesus' resurrection. God knows that in this war zone, we have challenges. Many of the deepest are relationship challenges. And he knows we need help, and he knows we need guidance. We began in Ephesians 1. As you move into Ephesians chapter 4, there's all kinds of guidance on how to live as those who are part of the life that Jesus is creating, those who believe in Jesus, in the cause, in what he has accomplished and what he will accomplish. There's instructions on how to relate to one another, how to relate from the perspective of being in the Jesus movement, as opposed to not being in the Jesus movement. And it's so easy. It's so easy, even as those who believe in Jesus Christ, to sometimes forget who we are and function as if we don't believe in him. You may not have made that commitment to believe in Jesus Christ, in a sense to follow Jesus Christ, to let Jesus Christ form who you are and your understanding of what is real and your desire for what will come and the transformation that comes. You may not have experienced that. And so you may see in people who say they're Christians some inconsistencies. The reason that happens is because Christians forget or they haven't learned yet truly who they are as a follower of Jesus Christ. And sometimes for us, what the world says feels more real than what we understand to be true in the Bible. And even though the power that is in us is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, we either forget that or we haven't learned yet how to apply it to a certain area of our lives. And when that happens, Christians sin. They become hypocrites. And part of that is because we just don't know, or we've forgotten, or we don't understand. So in Ephesians, we're getting instructions on life and on living. And at the end of chapter 4, there's lots of instruction on how we communicate and talk. Chapter 5 moves into relationships. And it talks about the relationship between a wife and a husband. In chapter 6, it talks about the relationship between parents and children, how to relate to each other in the Jesus movement as followers of Jesus Christ, as those who have entered into the life that he's creating. And then the third is a relationship between those in charge and those responsible to those in charge, some who are managers and some who are managed, some who are providing employment, some who are receiving employment. How do we, as Christians, relate to other Christians when there are situations of power and differences in rank, so to speak? Now, again, I want you to understand the insights and the instructions there, they're even commands. They're given to those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, those who believe in Jesus. And it is there, these instructions are there to help believers understand and move forward in their faith and in the movement of Jesus. But it's interesting, at the end of all of this message about relationships, these words come. And this is where we're going to spend the rest of our time this morning. Finally, be strong in the Lord in his mighty strength. Put on the whole armor of God. Is that what it takes? Suiting up for battle? Is that what it takes to make our way through the struggles in our marriages and with our kids and with work? To put on God's armor? Well, let me read the rest of that passage. It's from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty strength. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the devil's strategies. We may be asking, God, what's going on? What's going on in my marriage? What's going on with my kids? What's going on in those relationships where I feel out of control? God says this. He says, the struggle isn't what you think. Your spouse or someone close to you, your kids, someone in control, your neighbors, even corporations, and even politicians aren't your enemies. They aren't. Your struggle is bigger, deeper, older, and more powerful than your spouse or your kids or someone else in control, that's stronger than your neighbors or corporations, and even stronger than politicians and government. This passage goes on, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, and says this, for our struggle is not against a human opponent, but against rulers and against authorities, against cosmic powers in the darkness around, against evil spiritual forces in the heavenly realm. So here's our first answer to the question, God, what's going on? Why is life such a struggle? First answer is this, behind every struggle, and again, this is for those who are followers of Jesus Christ, although I believe it is true really for all of us in some respect, behind every struggle stands a dark power of evil aligned against the authority of Jesus. Behind every struggle stands a dark power of evil aligned against the authority of Jesus. When you believe in Jesus, when you receive the forgiveness of your sin through Jesus, when you enter into the life that God creates through the resurrection of Jesus, when it is no longer you who lives, but Christ who lives in you, that is his mission, his life is in you. When you live under the authority of Jesus and you follow his lead, then the struggles that come against you as Jesus' follower, as Jesus' agent in this world, do not come from a human source. But wait, didn't we read back there at the beginning of Ephesians in chapter 1 that God has put everything under the feet of Jesus and that he has made him the head of everything for the good of the church, of followers, of believers? Well, yes, we did. But I also want to point out that this letter that is so positive and so encouraging and tells us about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ was written from a prison cell. The author, Paul the Apostle, is writing from prison to the believers in Ephesus. And he's helping them to understand that we live in this time between the resurrection of Jesus when the new creation, the new life began, when resurrection life started, and the return of Jesus, when everything will be put right. And in that in-between time, the rebels are still at work. The enemies, the authorities, the rulers in the dark are not finally defeated. But the chapter that closes the book on every human enemy has already begun. The chapter hasn't ended, but it has begun. And the chapter ends with the defeat and putting away of every enemy that stands against God, including sin and death. And the victory is assured. It's coming. It's important for us to understand, though, that Jesus didn't come to give us a better version of the world. Jesus came to defeat the powers of evil, the powers that hold people in bondage. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that the devil, Satan, is the god of this age, and that he has blinded the minds of unbelievers, of people who have not come into connection, haven't been brought by Jesus into the place where they are believers in Jesus. You know, there are three ancient powers that were talked about in many civilizations, and they've been talked about in practically all civilizations, and they were given titles as gods. And there was Mars, in ancient Rome, who was the god of war, of power, of control. There's Aphrodite, the god of sex. And there's Mammon, the god of money. We don't see those as gods today. We see those as just things. But there is a power and a force that still controls lives. It is money and sex and power. And people strive for that. They want more of it. And they will sacrifice for that. If you don't think we have child sacrifice anymore, look at all of the children that have been sacrificed so that adults can enjoy and pursue their sexual pleasures. The marriages that have ended, the children who have been sacrificed so that an adult can go and be satisfied sexually in another way. We worship those gods and we are controlled by those gods. Jesus didn't come to help make things a little better here. Jesus came to help set us free from that which would control us. And it can be money, it can be power, it can be sex, it can be alcohol, it can be any number of things. Jesus came to help free us from that power and bring us into the life that he's creating. So, behind every struggle stands a dark power aligned against the authority of Jesus. It does. The passage goes on and says, for this reason. What reason? Because we have an enemy that is not of flesh and blood. We have strategies that are in the spiritual realm that are coming against us. It says, for this reason, take up the whole armor of God, so you may be able to take a stand in that evil day. And when you have done everything you could, you will be able to stand firm. And here's our second thought, or second answer to our question, God, what's going on and how am I facing these struggles? And it's this: God empowers you to stand against dark powers that are aligned against the authority of Jesus. When you come under the authority of Jesus, when you believe in him, when he's your leader, God gives you the power, the ability to stand against the dark forces that come against God's purposes. We are not refugees. We are not refugees as followers of Jesus Christ, hiding in a world. We are rather warriors. God calls us to bring forward the life and the message of Jesus and to stand against the one who stands against that. God deploys us into the world to take a stand in his authority, in the authority of Jesus, to take up his armor, to take up what he provides, and to stand firm then in that. Well, with what does God equip us? It goes on in verse 14 of chapter 6 with this. Stand firm, therefore, having fastened the belt of truth around your waist, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having put on shoes on your feet, so that you are ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. In addition to all these, having taken up the shield of faith, which you will be able to put out all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Also take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times with every kind of prayer and request there is. For the same reason, be alert with every kind of effort and request for all the saints. So, did you notice anything about this armor? It's described with terms like breastplate, belt, helmet, shoes, but it's not outer armor that is really being talked about here. It's not even under armor that's being talked about here. It's inner armor. And that brings us to our third answer to how do we make our way through the struggles that are before us as followers of Jesus Christ. And it's this: the struggle is won or lost on the battlefield of your mind and heart. The struggles we face as followers of Jesus Christ, when that something is coming against the authority of Jesus, that struggle we face is fought. The struggle is fought on the battleground of your heart and your mind. How do I know that? Listen to the provisions we're given. Truth. Truth is something that we own on the inside. The truth about who Jesus is and about who we are and about our need, our need to be forgiven. It's righteousness. It's about acting in the right, in doing what is right in the life and in the mission and the creation that God is bringing to life in Jesus Christ. It's living in that and knowing that we are engaged rightly in what God is about. It is faith. It is believing. It is understanding to be true what we haven't seen yet, but that there is a God who has created all things. His Son is Jesus. He has come and he has dealt with the power of sin. He has dealt with our own sin. When we come to him by faith and believe in him, our sin is forgiven. And our faith says he is coming again and he will make all things new. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the very presence of God that comes and dwells within us. It's the Word of God. It's reading the Bible. It's reading the Word of God and putting that into us. You know, it is through the Word that we learn what is good and what is not good, what is good and what is evil. And as we take that Word in, we begin to see and understand. It is salvation. It is coming to faith in Jesus Christ and being already counted present in what God is doing and the life that he is creating forever. It's separating ourselves from the rebels, being freed from that by Jesus Christ and entering into the life that God has for us. It's awareness and prayer for ourselves, but prayer for others as well. These are weapons that are more than capable of protecting us in the authority of Jesus, in the life that Jesus is creating. And they're internal. And so the battle is in our minds. If we can be taught to believe a lie about who we are and who God is, or that this life doesn't matter, that we can just hunker down and wait till Jesus comes back or till we get to go to heaven, if we can believe some type of lie that puts us off, then we've already lost. We've already lost at that point. These weapons are more than capable of helping us to stand. And the only thing in here that was talked about that was external was shoes. Putting on the shoes that you can bring the message of Jesus to others, the gospel of peace. It is that ability to bring forward under the authority of Jesus, the message of Jesus, the opportunity, the offer that Jesus has for life, for freedom from the powers that enslave us, the powers of sex and control or power, the drive for money, these things that hold us, that are really used by the powers behind that to control us, that we can be freed from that. C.S. Lewis, an author of the last century, a great author, talked about in a book called The Screwtape Letters. It was a conversation between a senior devil in hell and a junior one. And the senior one is giving instructions on how to take down Christians, to take them off their game. And one of the things he says is, get them interested in an earthly cause. And help them to see the importance of that. And help that come to the place where that becomes more important, where they may have been a Christian first, but they're interested in this. Now all of a sudden, their Christianity is there to support this cause. One way I think of this is, how do we describe ourselves as followers of Jesus Christ? Am I an American Christian? I am a Christian who happens to live in America. Or am I a Christian American? America comes first, and I happen to be a Christian. What God calls us to do is to be Christians, to be his children, his followers. And when we do that, he equips us in whatever setting we are to live for him and with him. Let me go back again to the first verses we read here in chapter 6, where it said, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty strength. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the devil's strategies. If you have your Bible out, circle strategies. Sometimes in some Bibles it says schemes. Here's what we need to review. Behind every struggle stands dark powers. Dark powers aligned against the authority of Jesus. God empowers. God empowers those who believe in Jesus, who enter into what he is creating. God empowers you to stand against the dark powers that are aligned against the authority of Jesus. And finally, and this is so important, it is so important that we're going to talk about this next week of how do we win this battle. The struggle is won or lost on the battlefield of your mind. God has an enemy, and his enemy is still raging, even though his end has been sealed. He is still raging, and God calls up to stand up and to suit up, to gear up, to get up and gear up, and to engage in this world with the gospel of peace, the message of what God is doing. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I encourage you to get up and to suit up, to stand up and to put on the armor of God and enter the life God has for you. If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, but you heard something in this message that says, believing in Jesus changes everything. It really does. And I would love to talk with you more about that, about what it means to truly believe in Jesus to the point where your life is transformed by Jesus and you become part of the life that God is building through Jesus Christ. If you're interested in learning more about that, I encourage you to call me here at the church office, 715-689-2125, or send me an email to mikeklevin@fbcfallen.org. That's Mike Kleven, K-L-E-V-E-N, @fbcfallen.org. Thank you. Have a great day. Get up and gear up and stand firm. Amen.